Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I am your host, Stacey Emery, as always, excited to be here for another Mind Shift Monday. And I am joined by my awesome and phenomenal co-host, Mr. Billy Miller. Say hey, Billy.
Hey!
As I said, it's Mind Shift Monday. We are always excited to be here. We have just a ton of fun on the show, really. I mean, I know this show is about personal development, it's about professional development, it's about creating that whole mind shift, that paradigm shift, and in doing so, we just totally enjoy this journey, we enjoy this course, we enjoy the development, and we enjoy having all of you listening every single week at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For those of you that are listening online, we encourage you to join us in the chat room at mindshifttalkradio.com. Also, tonight's guest is going to be off the chain. It is going to be an amazing and power-packed dynamic show. And so if you have any questions, any comments, even any concerns, feel free to ask your questions, post your questions in the chat room, or give us a call at area code 347-989-0206. Again, thank you for joining us this week. We ask that when you come to Mind Shift Talk Radio, as always, just make sure that you have an open heart, an open mind, an open perspective. You may not necessarily agree with everything that we say or everything that our guests may have to say, but we just ask that you hang in there with us for the hour, and we guarantee that you will be blessed and you will have that mind shift by the end of the show. So again, just give you a recap. What we like to do is just give you a recap about what we discussed last week before we introduce you to tonight's guest. Now, for those of you that may have missed the show last week, we encourage you to go back online to mindshifttalkradio.com, check out the replays. We had a great show last week. Billy and I were here last week. We truly do miss our other partner in success, Dr. Ayal Kedar, that is not able to join us tonight. But we held it down last week, and Billy shared so much great information. Billy, why don't you tell them about some of the information, just kind of give a recap of what you shared on the show last week.
Oh, yeah, I've just shared four things you need to do with your Bible, and that was just an awesome message because a lot of people just use their Bible as a collection for their birth certificates and obituaries and baby hair and, you know, a public display on their coffee table, but it won't do them any good sitting there, even though it's power and life inside of it. So I share four things you need to do with it, with the Word of God, that you will be able to see what's inside of the Bible manifested on the outside of your life.
So definitely. Last week's show was about mind, body, health, and so we wanted to talk more about making sure that we're living a balanced lifestyle. You know, so many times we talk about the personal development piece in terms of making sure that we're being positive in terms of our thoughts and the words that we speak. And Billy did a phenomenal job at really tying it back to our values spiritually, where we are, making sure that we're more grounded, making sure that we are balanced in every area of our lives. It's one thing for you to listen to these shows every single week, but it's another thing for you to put those things that you learn on the show into action. You know, week after week, we come with these great topics. We're talking about real issues, real things affecting real people. Whether we're talking about your business, we're talking about your personal growth, your relationships, your finances, growing spiritually, whatever it is, there's so much information that is shared every single week. And truly, it means nothing if you don't take action. You can listen to this show. You can read every book in the library on personal growth and development. You can attend every Sunday Bible study, every Bible study on Wednesday, choir rehearsal on Thursday, and service, three services on Sunday. But if you are not putting those things into practice, the things that you are learning, then they will not benefit you in any way. And so we encourage you, especially after you hear tonight's guest, she is going to give you some very direct person and a course of action for you to take for you to be able to unleash the beast, and which is that greatness that is inside of you, in order for you to be able to obtain the results that you so desire in every area of your life. And so with us coming up to the end of the year, we really thought about the shows that we would have going into the end of the year. We thought about the guests that we would bring on, and we wanted to make sure that we had topics and we had guests that would be able to give you all the information you need to be able to build momentum now going into the new year. You know, we can take this time to reflect over 2011. We can look at our hits, we can look at our misses, we can look at our areas of opportunity, but we want to make sure that we are setting the stage now, that we are setting ourselves up to win big in 2012. So I want to say this to you before we even bring our guests out tonight. I just want to say that you want to be very honest about where you are. Don't be afraid to admit where you are right now. There may be some things that you set out to do at the beginning of the year that you may not necessarily accomplish yet for this year, and that's okay. You know, every year we come up with different goals. We come up with those quote-unquote New Year's resolutions, but those resolutions don't stop after January. They don't start after February. They don't stop after June. We have to continue to boldly attack the goals and the plans that we set forth for ourselves. And so we just want to make sure that you stay encouraged. Regardless of how it looks right now, regardless of those things that you may have missed, you continue to stay the course. And that's what this show is about tonight. It's about continuing to stay the course. It's about being laser focused on your goals, being very clear about what your desires are, what it is that you want to obtain, and then make sure you just put everything into it in 2012. So I'm excited about this show. Really, before I introduce the guest, because when she comes out, it's just on at this point. Do you have anything that you want to share with the audience or with our listeners before I bring our guest out for tonight?
Yeah, I just thank you that you had the audacity to invite our next guest, because our next guest is the audacity expert. That's all I want to say.
That's cute. I like that. And I love that name, the audacity expert. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm over here just like, I'm tickled right now. I'm excited. I have my notepad. I am ready to learn. I'm ready to unleash my beast. And so I'll tell you about the guest that's going to be joining us tonight. Now, tonight's guest is Miss Tanoa Bond, and we are talking about the Audacity Expert. She is the Audacity Expert. She's a mindset mogul, mental conditioning, peak performance coach, an author, a speaker, hypnotherapist, and, check this, an image consultant. So she's just covering everything. She's affectionately known, as I said, as the Audacity Expert, because she helps clients to develop an arrogant disregard for what others may believe is possible and live their dreams in a bigger, better, bolder way. And she empowers individuals and teams to unleash the beast within, as we talked about that greatness within. So it's to learn the key elements of how to both mindset and condition your mental capabilities as well. You know, how it affects your actions, how it affects your choices, your results. Basically, for you to be able to be in a position to be able to achieve positive and successful experiences in every area of your life. And we talk about that. That's what Mind Shift is about. We want to make sure that you're growing in every single area. And so her mindset conditioning and her peak performance program is gaining already interest in NFL sports teams for people that understand the value in helping their teams to unleash the beast within and to live their lives to the fullest. So that's on the field, that's off the field, that's on Blog Talk, that's on Mind Shift, that's on Facebook, that's everywhere that the Audacity Expert, Ms. Tanoa Bond, shows up. So without any further ado, I'm going to introduce you to tonight's guest, Ms. Tanoa Bond. Hey, Ms. Tanoa Bond.
Woo-hoo! Hey, that was some introduction. When Billy said you had the audacity, I was in here screaming. I'm so glad I'm by myself right now, because I would probably be committed. This is so cool. So glad to be here.
We are so happy to have you. You know, I have to share this with the listeners. You know, Tanoa, if for those of you that may be looking at the profile pictures, she looks so adorable, beautiful, bright smile, great personality. But I can tell you one thing, you can sit there and look at that image of her and say, okay, well, yeah, she seems like she's really cool and she's cute and, you know, have great things to say. But when you listen to her, I mean, the first time that I spoke to Tanoa, I was cracking up laughing. I told you this, that you remind me, you're just the all-around girl next door that anyone can, you can listen to Tanoa, you can talk to her, you can laugh at her. I mean, she's just like that girl that you would want to be your best friend. She's that girl that would sit in your living room and laugh with you, that would cry with you, and then be able to bless you with a powerful word. And I am just so honored to have you here. I'm just really excited about the message that you're going to share with us tonight, and I know that you're going to provide so much value to our listeners tonight. So I just can't thank you enough for even being here with us tonight.
Well, thank you. And I have to say, I was a little concerned because when you started that out with, like, you can look at her picture, she looks so cute and sweet. And I was like, ruh-roh, George, where are we going?
No, I'm not going to put you out there yet. I'm not going to do you like that yet.
I was like, okay, I bite. No, I'm kidding. I think the thing is I learned when I was younger. I mean, I've been doing this since I was a little girl, believe me, and I've made some enemies. Trust me, as a little girl, people do not want to hear what you have to say when you are five and you look so cute, and then you come and tell them, like, you need to get your life together. They don't want to hear that when you're a five-year-old. But I learned early on that because my message is always so deep and because it hits hard and because it is very audacious and it looks you in the face and it says to you, really, if you want to be who it is you were destined to be, no more excuses. I don't do excuses. I don't do pity. I might do some sympathy, but that's all you're going to get from me. But because everything else is so heavy, I have to be able to make you laugh because we have to be able to laugh at the things we've gone through in order to learn from them. So, you know, this road has really put me on the road, if you will, of having to know how to do both and do it well, you know, so that people aren't looking at me going, uh-oh, here she comes. Run.
You're hilarious. I know I read your bio and I told the listeners about you, but if there's anything I may have missed, you know, just please tell us who Kanoa Bond is and what is your intention for this message tonight, Unleash the Beast.
Yes, well, you know, you really did hit home in the bio. I will say that I am a single parent. I have two children. I'm an Army veteran. And a lot of what I've learned through life, I was born and raised in a project for Chicago, and I look at my past and the things that I've gone through, because when you grow up in an environment such as that, you see everything and you experience everything, the good, the bad, the indifferent, the ugly, the pretty, everything. But I think what it does is it gives you, you know, a fortified strength to be able to say, if you can make it through that, you can make it through anything. And so when I look at other people and I say to them, I know life seems hard right now, but you can make it through. Or my favorite statement is, I know life seems hard right now, but it's supposed to be. And people kind of look at me with that crazy look of, what do you mean it's supposed to be? You know, they can see from my life that I truly understand, and I wouldn't push them anywhere that I don't believe they could go. You know, your purpose, our purpose calls for us to be something. Our purpose calls for us to be a beast. Our purpose says you were put here for a reason, so why would you want to play small? So when people hear me speak, they, you know, should know off the bat that this Army girl, you know, this girl that made it through not only, you know, the wars of the Project of Chicago, but also was trained to be able to defend myself in combat, truly understands what you're going through, and I might sympathize with you, but I also know that you can make it through because your purpose wouldn't have put you here if things were going to be any different and if you needed to be less than who you are. Your purpose wouldn't have brought you here for that. So don't play small. So that's my biggest message. If you want to know anything about me, is don't play small because I don't play small, and I'm not going to play small with you.
All righty then. Well, I am ready to hear Unleash the Beast. And ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery, Mr. Billy Miller, and Dr. Ayal Kedar, the Natural Zen Diva. We are joined by our special guest tonight, Ms. Kanoa Bond, the Audacity Expert, sharing her message, Unleash the Beast. But go ahead. I'll pass the mic over to you.
Thank you. You know, when I hear that title, Unleash the Beast, aside from the fact that it's mine, you know, and I don't really have a big head about it, but it really does something to me because when you hear, first of all, when you hear unleash, that's a term that immediately reminds you of the fact that you must have been in bondage because now you have to unleash something. And no matter who you are, whether you're a one percenter or whether you're somebody who's, you know, living their life in a very small way, we all have something that needs to be unleashed because there should never come a point in our lives where we place a self-imposed glass ceiling on who we are and say that where we are is good enough. Nothing should ever be good enough. You know, it should be just enough to where you feel that fire burning to push you to the next level. And if you don't feel that fire burning, then that's why you're here today. Because this message today is all about unleashing the potential that lies on the inside of you. I love to tell people that, you know, we were born with the seed of actualization on the inside of us. And I really can't take credit for it. It's actually a psychological theory, but I will take credit for it. No. But one thing that you have to remember is that you were born with a seed of greatness, with a seed of potential on the inside of you. And everything that you need to be this great being that you were destined to be and that you are destined to be and that you still have time to be, it's not over, you know, is already on the inside of you. And if you think about a seed, when a seed is planted, you know, if it's a rose bush, if it's a carrot, whatever it is, that seed has every single thing that it needs on the inside of it to grow. All it needs is a little nourishment. So it needs to be watered. It needs to be cared for. But it doesn't need for you to do anything else. It doesn't need for you to go and buy special herbs or anything else to get it to grow. It's already actualized to grow. The minute it hits the ground and it's planted, it says, ding, 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 that's my signal to grow. And that's the same thing with us. The minute we were planted on this earth, we were already given everything we needed to be the greatness that's on the inside of us. And so many of us are conditioned by society, conditioned by families, conditioned by circumstances, by environment, to believe that we are less than, or that there is less than that exists. And because less than exists, and because my life has looked a certain way, and because I feel a certain way, then that means I can't play at a higher level because life has shown me that I'm less than. But life doesn't show you that you're less than. Life says to you, this is what it is, and we look at it and we determine based off of what we see and what we believe about what we see, the role that we're supposed to play. When in actuality, the greatness on the inside of you is screaming for things to be different. There is truth and there is fact. The fact of the matter is something that cannot be changed. The fact of the matter is that you were born to be great. The truth, however, is how you see your life. So if you believe that you were born to be pitied, if you believe that you weren't born to be anything other than, you know, a cashier or whatever have you, when there's so much more potential in you, and I'm not saying that the job you have now, please don't take it the wrong way, that there's anything wrong with where you are. I'm just saying that there's always someplace else to go. There's always someplace else to rise to. So if you're looking at the fact is that you were born to be great. The truth, however, is how you perceive who you are in the world based off of what you've seen because of your environment, because of what people have said to you. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You'll never make it. You'll never be. And we internalize these things, and we're conditioned to believe that we can't have anything because the people around us don't have anything. And if you're around people and you tell them what you want, and they laugh at you and go, oh, girl, nobody in this family has ever graduated from college. Oh, girl, nobody in this neighborhood has ever been anything. You know, then we tend to take that and say, well, maybe I shouldn't be anything either, or maybe I don't want to be the one to go up against the grain, because now not only am I fighting against a belief system, but I'm also fighting against a, am I going to be the first one? So when you talk about unleashing the beast, it's like unleashing that potential on the inside of you, unleashing your psyche to be able to say, I believe that I can have these things that I want. I believe that I'm smart enough. I believe that I'm good enough. And because I believe it, you can't take it away from me. Because I believe it, I know I can have it. Because I believe it, there's nothing you can do to stop me. And when we look at our lives and we look at where we are, you know, we have a tendency to pity ourselves. Like you said a minute ago, Stacey, you were talking about how we're at the end of the year and, you know, we can sit back and we can go over the things that have happened in the year, and maybe we hit some goals and maybe we haven't. And what most people do at this time of the year, this is the biggest time of the year for depression and for suicide, because a lot of people look at this time of the year, and not only are they looking at the fact that they may not have a loved one or they may be alone, but they're also looking at the fact that this new year is coming up, and I have to face the fact that I didn't do in my life what I was intended to do. And now let me start over again. You know, when in actuality, if you're unleashing that potential on the inside of you, if you're unleashing that beast on the inside of you, then what that means is it's okay to look at your life where you are now and say, you know what, this is where I am. I don't have to stay here. I'm going to move myself forward because I know that I was destined to be something greater. I know that I was destined for a different potential, and I know that I can have it if that's what I so desire to have. But instead of looking at it as wounded, you know, like when we talk about the beast, we talk about animal and animal instincts. And I love to compare myself to different animals. And I love to think about that beast. You know, when you think about a wounded animal, I think there was a quote once in the movie G.I. Jane that a wounded bird never feels sorry for itself. You know, you have to picture yourself, even if you've never, even if you right now, you haven't gotten to the point where you want to be. Don't look at it in pity and say, woe is me. Look at it and think of yourself as that wounded lioness who is protecting her cub or the bear, you know, because bears are ferocious when they're protecting their young. That bear is wounded beyond repair, but they're still protecting their cub. And then here you come, la, 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 thinking that you're going to take the cub from that bear. That bear might be wounded, but he's going to take your head off. Why? Because he has a purpose. and he's not going to allow you to come in and play him small and think that he can't handle his business and protecting his cub and protecting his purpose because he's wounded. If you're wounded in life right now, if you haven't made it to where you want to be in life right now, don't feel sorry for yourself. I don't feel sorry for you because the purpose on the inside of you says that if I step to you the wrong way and if I even try to insinuate that you don't have what it takes on the inside of you to be the greatness that you were destined to be, that purpose should rise up and take my head off because there's nothing in you worth being pitied. So, yeah, it's okay. You want to walk away and say, woe is me? Yeah, woe is you. Yeah, right. You're a wounded bear cub with, you know, you're a wounded bear protecting a cub because that purpose on the inside of you deserves to be protected. So when we talk about unleashing the beast, it's a beast on the inside of you that is so tired of playing small. It wants its right to growl. You know, it wants its right to rise up and show the world who you are. Forget about what other people are saying to you. You know, when Stacey read my bio earlier, she said that one of the things that I do as the Audacity Expert is that I help people to ignore the opinions of others, to have an arrogant disregard. That word arrogant means just what it means, that your nose is turned up in the air and you're looking down at other people saying, how dare you tell me what I can be? How dare you? You're going to have an arrogant disregard for the naysayers in your life, and you're going to push forward to be everything that you've been destined to be. So if you have the attitude right now that your life is in this position and you don't know if you can rise up, your life is a mess because of financial situations, oh, my gosh, you lost your job, woe is me, oh, my gosh, we don't know, we have an eviction notice, woe is me, no woe is you, no. You cannot, if you're a beast, you can't think that way because the purpose and the intention on the inside of you wouldn't have it any other way but to be great. There's a seed of potential on the inside of you, and all it needs to grow is to be watered with your belief. So one way to unleash the beast on the inside of you is to change your belief system. And the way, I'll give you a really quick exercise because I love giving tools. I really love giving homework, but we'll save that for another conversation. But, you know, one quick tool that you can use to start changing your belief system, if you have that woe is me, pity party type attitude and you just don't know how things are going to change for you, when we think about the mind and we think about the psyche looks for similarities. It seeks similarities because it likes the comfort zone. It doesn't like new things. If it's new and if it's not similar, then that means that it's painful to the psyche. So the psyche seeks similarities. So one thing you can do is you can write down the top qualities of three people that you really admire. And get a piece of paper, you know, put a line down the middle of the paper. On one side, write down all these qualities that come from all these different people. You know, they're smart, they're arrogant, they are business-minded, they are confident, whatever it is, write those qualities down. And then on the other side of that paper, I want you to write, I am, and then I want you to write down that quality that you wrote down. I am smart. I am confident. I am business-minded. I am confident, whatever it is. And I want you to keep doing that until you're done. And then I want you to fold that piece of paper in half, and I only want you to look at the I am side. And for 30 days, three times a day, when you first wake up, this is important, when you first wake up in the morning, right before you go to bed at night, and any time during the middle of the day, I want you to say that list to yourself because your belief system starts to change the more you say these things. And the reason why it's going to work is because you cannot recognize in anyone else what you don't see in yourself. So if you see these top qualities in somebody else, that means they're already on the inside of you. They're just dormant. So we have to unleash them. We have to allow them to come forward because you wouldn't see them if you couldn't even recognize them if they weren't in you. Because the psyche doesn't work that way. So, your assignment, report back to me if you need to. If you have any questions, let me know. But that right there is a very powerful assignment. And when you do it, when you say the I am statement, don't just say it in your little pity party funk of, well, I am smart and I am, you know. No, you know, say it with some force. You know, if you have to, clap your hands because physiological movements force our brain to act a certain way. So if you're clapping your hands and like you would be at a sports game, then that means that your body knows that it's time to be excited because every single time, I mean, if you're sitting in your house right now, try it. Just start clapping really enthusiastically and pay attention to your body. You're going to get chills all over your body and your energy is going to start moving higher because that is a trained symbol in your body for you to know If I'm clapping, my body should be responding in a certain way. If you frown, pay attention to that. You'll immediately notice. The minute you frown, whether you have something to frown at or not, your energy starts to change. It starts to go lower. If you smile for no reason whatsoever, your energy immediately starts to change. It goes higher. So we have these physiological movements that we do in our body that forces our psyche to respond. So when you do these I am statements, also force your body to have some type of movement so that it starts to respond and they take a hold and they take root faster. Because, again, at the end of the day, you have this on the inside of you. All you need to do is allow it to be unleashed.
You know what, Tanoa, I was sitting there thinking about what you were saying about, well, you shared so much information in that, and I was thinking about the part just now when you talked about the belief system, and you provided the exercise with the affirmation. And it's kind of what we discussed last week. Last week, Billy went into a very detailed discussion about faith and the belief system. And I talked about affirmations briefly, and the unfortunate part about it for many individuals that are not familiar with affirmations is they will listen to you give that direction and say, I want you to say this to yourself, you know, for 30 days, but they'll start off with a negative attitude and say, well, that doesn't work. How is that going to work? I don't see myself that way. And I can't stress enough how beneficial affirmations are in changing and reprogramming your mind. You know, you talk about how many people are afraid to step out and be the first to do something. Many people are afraid to accomplish new things because we don't know what's going to be said about us. We don't know how challenging it's going to be. We kind of defeat ourselves before we even get out the gate. And I say this to individuals that don't believe in the power of affirmation. If you're where you are right now and you're not happy where you are right now and you've never tried affirmations before, what is it that you have to lose? You have nothing to lose, but you have all to gain. And so it may sound very ridiculous. It sounds silly at times. You just think to yourself, this doesn't make sense for me to sit there and smile in the mirror at myself and say these things. But try it anyway. Just be bold. You talked about unleashing the greatness and the potential that is within us, but we also have to unleash that whole mindset of possibility. We have to start thinking about the possibility, not focus on where we are right now, but really look at where we want to be, where we can be. And it's unfortunate as well that many people have the dream. Deep down inside, I think there's a dream in all of us. Like you said, we all have a purpose. We all have a mission. There's something unique that each one of us has been called to do. But many of us are even afraid of that. You know, we talk about individuals all the time that are afraid of failure, but how many of us are afraid of even being successful because we're not sure that we can handle it? And so, I mean, I just love how you just made it really clear when you were, like, bold. And that's why I said you're the girl next door. You are the friend I can talk to on the couch, and you're the one that's going to read me my rights, because you was like, I'm not going to feel sorry for you. There's no pity party here. And I was like, you know, we need to hear that. It's so easy to baby someone in the development process, but sometimes you just need someone to be real with you, just be honest and say, I'm not going to baby you. I'm not going to baby you. So I appreciate the in-your-face message. I can say that much. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Ms. Tanoa Bond on Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery, joined by the phenomenal Mind Shift crew, Mr. Billy Miller, the motivational minister. And I'm happy to say that our other sidekick and partner in success, Dr. Ayal Kedar, the natural Zen Diva, has been able to make it on the show as well. So say hey to everyone, Dr. Ayal. Great, and I've lost her again. Okay, but I promise you she's here.
No, you haven't lost me. You haven't lost me. I'm here. I'm like, hey.
I was just going to take it personally. I'm like, okay, maybe it's just me. Maybe if I hang out, she'll see. Maybe.
I got one of them third-grade phones again.
Yeah,
you have to go, Billy.
You guys excuse my voice because it's a little, it's struggling. I'm still, you know, self-medicating heavily, so. But I'm so glad to be here, and to know I'm so glad to hear your message. You are awesome. I'm over here with my little notepad taking notes, so I'm loving it.
Oh, good. I'll give you a quiz later. No, I'm kidding.
But you know what? I'm just curious to know with you, like, what really – I mean, because you talk about how you were kind of like that in-your-face child even as a little girl at 5 years old, but – I'm really curious, like, was there someone that was instrumental in helping you to get to the point where you were able to have that bold, aggressive nature, or is it something that, you know, were there people in your life that really helped you to set the stage to be able to become the Audacity Expert, or has it just been through trial and tribulation and struggle and overcoming that you were able to get to this point?
I think it's a little bit of all of it mixed together, but, you know, one thing we have to remember is that based on our conditioning, and when we talk about conditioning, it's, again, it's what happened between the ages of 0 to 5, you know, when we were with our primary caregiver, because believe it or not, our primary caregiver's belief system is a huge part of either what we have to use to fight with or fight against, because they were the most instrumental part in conditioning us when we were first born. Then you have your environment. Then you have the people in your environment. So I think for me, all of it played a part. However, I think it was my purpose that forced me, even as a young girl, to pay attention. Even as a young girl, I was very intuitive, so I was able to pick up on other people's pain. And I always had those questions for, you know, we would go to church, and we were always in church, you know. And so I used to call him back then this faceless God, you know, because I knew he was real and I knew I was talking to him, but I would always have these really deep questions for God. You know, like, I think, you know, God is probably like, I'm going to let her live till she's about 300, because when she come up here, good Lord, she's not going to let me rest. Because my questions would always be things like, why do people have to suffer? Why do they feel that way? You know, if someone else was crying, if I didn't know them, I would cry with them. You know, so I believe I was conditioned for this life, because even at this age now, and especially now with this message that I have kind of that Jeremiah message, if you will, that kind of message where you know how to help people and you know it's yours, but by golly, you don't want it. You know, you don't want to be the one that has to walk up to people and go, I know your life is hard. I know you're wounded right now, but just like that bird doesn't feel sorry for himself, how dare you think that I'm going to? Like, who wants to hear that when they're hurting? But that's my message, and that's, you know, how it has to be. And I've been told ever since I was a little girl that your delivery is just so harsh. And it hit me one day. I said, well, you know, my delivery is what it is, because the people who were called to hear my delivery will be the ones that are healed by it. But if I'm just like everybody else, then the message is no different. So I can't change my delivery. And the reason I can't change my delivery is because other people didn't see people when they were growing up, you know, get their head blown off in front of them and, you know, experience kind of the things that I experienced. I had to face the harder truth when I was growing up. And, again, this is not a pity moment. Please don't feel sorry for me. I will not appreciate it, you know. But the truth of the matter is, you know, that I had to go through the life that I went through. I had to experience the things that I experienced, and I had to see the things that I saw in order to be where I am today with the message that I have, and to not be and to not step back from the message. Because, again, it's not comfortable delivering a message such as this. It's not comfortable at all, but we all have a life script, and we all have something that has pushed us to where we are today, and it's up to us to decide if we're going to be the director of the script that's in our head and that has governed our life, or we're going to just be a bit player and allow the environment, our society, our conditioning to continue to move us forward the way it wants to move us forward. One quick note to say before we get off this topic is, you know, that change is going to happen whether you want it to happen or not. The key question to ask yourself is, do you want to be in charge of your change, or do you want to be a participant in change? If you're going to be a participant, that means you have to take life as it's given to you, and you have to just accept the hand you're dealt and lose every time. But if you're going to be in charge of it, then that means you're strategically looking at the cards that you've been given. You're looking at other people around the room, and you're looking at your hand, and you're pretty much saying, this hand says I shouldn't win diddly squat, but because I'm watching you, because I see every move that you make, and because I'm a born winner and my purpose wouldn't have it any other way, watch out, because here I come. Because there's nothing you can do to stop me, even with this crappy hand that I have. Watch and see. And people will be amazed every single time when you pull out something, when you pull that rabbit out of your hat, you know, and show them this magic trick from something that they know shouldn't have even existed. Because we all have it on the inside of us. We just have to believe it. And really quickly, you talked about the belief system, and you said how I was talking earlier about the belief system. I want to mention this as well. You know, the belief system is a bear. You know, the belief system is a beast. The belief system itself, you know, is one of those that if you don't have it under control, if you don't even take the time to pay attention, you know, to what you're thinking and the thoughts you're thinking, which is kind of hard. Scientists have proven that we think 50 to 75,000 thoughts a day, 50 to 75,000 thoughts a day, and that 80% are negative. So we can't follow every thought. That, you know, a lot of people say change your thoughts, change your life. Impossible. You can't change your thoughts. However, you can change the belief and the feeling about the thought, because if you change the feeling about the thought, then you're changing your belief system, because you're no longer able to believe it anymore. And so the acronym for BEAR, when we talk about the belief system being a BEAR, is belief, emotion, action, result. Whatever you believe is going to produce an emotion. Whatever that emotion is going to produce an action. And whatever that action is going to have a
a long-standing result for your life. So if you believe that your boss fired you because they hated your guts, and the emotion that you have because of that is intense rage and anger, and the action is that you go to your closet and you pull out a 45 and you go up to your job and then you shoot everybody, then the result is you just ruined your life because you're going to jail. You know, so every belief produces an emotion, which produces an action, which then produces a result. So wherever your life is right now, you have to be honest with yourself and ask yourself, well, what did I believe to make me have this feeling to where I made this action that gave me this result? Because whatever that was, I want to change that belief. I want to recondition that belief system so that I don't do that action anymore, so that my results will be different.
You know, dreams are too far to reach without stretching. And Tanoa, you said a quote. You said you were born to succeed and that you are destined to shine, but to do so requires that you have the audacity to believe it. You know, a lot of people think that success is automatic.
Right.
But what I'm hearing is there is something that you have to do intentionally to get it. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you know, I'm a little black girl from the projects of Chicago. There is no way that I should be sitting up here right now looking into PhD programs for behavioral psychology, you know, with, you know, not only just education, you know, as far as school is concerned, but being able to be smart enough to have lived my life a certain way, that I'm not in jail, that I didn't have 50,000 kids and end up on, you know, welfare with no teeth in my mouth. You know, all this stuff that you hear people saying that, you know, is the conditioned way that they expect people to live when they grow up in an environment such as that. Like, maybe I too should have been that way. However, I had the audacity to look at all that and say, there's something else out there. And just because my life is like this now doesn't mean I'm not worthy of whatever it is that's out there. I want what's out there. So now what do I have to do to get it? What do I have to do to get what's out there? I'm going to ask you a million questions because questions provide to me the answers. I'm not going to balk at too much constructive criticism. I mean, I'm human, so depending on how you deliver it, it might be a fight. I mean, I did grow up fighting, so, you know, it might be a mental fight on your hands, you know, if you start saying too much about me, you know, because I'm human, you know. But I will say that I chose to ask the questions. If I'm around people and I make a statement and they all get offended, then instead of me getting offended and saying, well, you guys didn't hear it right, then my question is, okay, I said it that way and that's not what I intended. What did you hear? And, you know, so you have to have the audacity to look at your life for everything that it is. You have to have the audacity to sit toe-to-toe with your dreams and say, I'm not perfect. My life wasn't perfect. This environment isn't perfect. But there are answers out there, and I can't get the answers if I don't ask the right questions. So to have your dreams, you're right, dreams can't seem too far if you're not willing to stretch for them. One way you stretch is to ask the right questions. Your life, not anybody else. We tend to run, and I'm not knocking pastors because I grew up in the church. I'm not knocking any of that. But we always tend to run for somebody else to provide an answer for us that the seed of actualization on the inside of you can already provide. So we have to be willing to look at ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves the questions. And after we hear some of the answers, then we can go to someone else and ask for confirmation to see if they're seeing what we interpreted. But we give too much power away when we don't honor our choices. We don't, even if your life is not where you want it to be, you know, and even if your dreams haven't, quote, unquote, come true, if you honor the fact that I made that decision and it didn't work out that well, but it was my decision to make, and I'm going to own the power of having made a decision, because most people won't make decisions. They're sitting on the sidelines of life and they're afraid to make a decision. I'm going to step into the power of the fact that I actually made a decision, and then I'm going to see, well, what went wrong in that decision process? Because now I own it. I own the fact that I made the decision. It didn't really work out the way I wanted it to. But now let me start unraveling the cues and the clues, if you will, so that I can find out where I could have done something different. And that's what we have to do. If you want your dreams to come true, you can't be afraid to stand toe-to-toe with every mistake that you made, every choice that you made, every good thing that you did, and answer the questions of what could I have done differently, what did I do right, am I willing to do it again, because it might have been painful. Whatever you did to get to where you are might have been painful. Are you willing to do it again? Are you willing to help somebody else along the way? And are you willing to continue to accept constructive criticism so that you can grow? Because the beast on the inside of you is okay scanning his environment and seeing where he falls short so that he knows how to redirect himself in a time of battle. You have to scan your environment. You have to pay attention to who you are. You have to know every step that you take better than someone else does, because if not, it's a misstep, and your enemy will win every time. If you know you better than anybody else, you'll never lose. I mean, you might lose a battle, but the purpose war will definitely be yours.
You know, potential is who you are but having it become. You know, it's that untapped power, that unreleased energy. You know, potential is that promise in the seed. And while people are trying to release that potential or trying to unleash that beast, you know, there are all types of distractions and interruptions and confusion. Mm-hmm. So, Tanoa, can you speak on the importance or just speak on how important it is to be laser focused when they're in this world full of distractions?
Wow, you know, the best way that I can describe focus is, it's so cruel. When we were younger, we were such cruel kids. Even kids today are cruel. But when you think of focus, you know, think of that magnifying glass, right? And you see the sun, and you see that poor ant, and you put the magnifying glass over the ant, so the sun goes through the magnifying glass, and it burns up the poor little ant, and the ant didn't see it coming. That's what focus is. Focus says that there is something greater on the outside, and that if you just laser it through, that it has the potential to burn up everything around it. Your focus should be so lasered in on what you want. Think of the flashlight versus that little laser beam flashlight, right? You have that broad flashlight that when you flash it at the wall, it highlights everything. You know, it's like it bounces light off of light off of light, and you see everything. But that laser is saying, all right, you want to see something? I'm zooming in to this one thing only. All that other stuff exists. Yeah, and there are other blemishes on the wall. There are nicks in the wall. You need to paint. You need to do a whole bunch of things. But we're only going to focus on this one tiny hole because that's where the air is coming in that's forcing your heating bill to go up because it's making your house cold. So we just want to worry about that for now. Because if you don't do that, then you're trying to paint. You're trying to cover the hole. You're trying to do too many things. So to be laser focused in the pursuit of your dreams means that regardless of what other people throw your way, regardless of the things that are happening around you, that you have this blind inattention, if you will, to what's going on around you. There was this experiment done a few years ago, and it really wasn't. It was like 30 years ago. So a few times 10 years ago, where they were having a high school basketball game, and then they had a mascot come in, and he ran across the court in a monkey suit. Now, nobody noticed this man in the monkey suit in the middle of the basketball court. Why? Because the game was that good and their focus was on the ball. That's what laser focus means in pursuit of your purpose, that you don't see anything happen around you. There are some idiots running around you right now in the monkey suit with bananas, and they want you to take your eye off the prize. But you shouldn't see them because the purpose, that dream, that intention that's on the inside of you that's calling for you to face that moment of crises. I love to talk about the crises point. For you to look at your life and say, I'm in a moment of decision right now. I can either go left or right. Which one am I going to do? That's what midlife crises mean. It's really moment of decision. I'm at that moment of decision, and what am I going to do? I can't see all that other stuff swirling around me because purpose is calling for me to actually choose the road that's going to lead me in the direction of my dream. But if you're focusing on too many things, then you're not paying attention, and that moment of crisis eats you up, and then you become the ant. You just get burned up. Instead of being the one that's directing the light in the magnifying glass, you're the one under the glass because now you're burnt up because everything around you is just way too powerful. So hopefully I answered your question in using that analogy, but the best thing that you could do is to focus, you know, have that laser focus to not see all the other blemishes on the wall, and to pay attention to only what you're intending to do at the moment, because in the now, every second counts. In the now, every moment leads you to your destiny, and you have to decide again, are you going to be a participant or are you going to be in control? And if you're in control, then you're the one directing the light. You're not the one that's being burned up or watching the man in the monkey suit.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, mm-hmm. You're listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with your host, Stacey Emery, Dr. Ayo Kadar, myself, the motivational minister, Billy Miller, with special guest, Tanoa Bonds. You can call and ask her a question at area code 347-989-0206. The show is on fire. The mic is on fire. I'm on fire for listening.
Right. And I have to say something to Noah. At the beginning, I talked about you being the girl next door. I talked about the cute face, and you said you were concerned about me saying something, but you just told on yourself. You talked about you fighting. You talked about you burning ants. So you basically, I knew you were going to tell on yourself. I didn't have to tell on you. You told on yourself. But,
well, in my own defense, because I really should have been a lawyer, so in my own defense, I wasn't technically the one burning the ants. I was watching, and now I know that makes me sound guilty and that I could still do some jail time, but hey, it wasn't, hey, it wasn't me.
Oh, goodness, I knew you were going to tell on yourself. But you know what, I was listening to you talking about distractions in our lives, and Billy even talked about that in discomfort. You know, I'm thinking about the discomfort, I'm thinking about the distractions, and all I could think to myself is even something that I've heard that Chris Gloss has shared on the show before about us having to be very, we have to get to the point where we're comfortable with being uncomfortable. You know, there's going to be some discomfort in the growth process. And I remember, you know, Billy is my brother. Like, I talked to Billy, and I remember going through this stage a few weeks ago. I was talking to Billy, and I was like, Billy, I just feel very uncomfortable. You know, like, I'm going through this transition stage. And it happens every time before something big is about to happen. And at first, when I would get that feeling, it would scare me. I would be like, oh, my gosh, what is this feeling? Maybe something, you know, the first thing we think is something bad is about to happen. You know, you get that little something, you're feeling like it has to be something bad. And I had to learn and have that mind shift myself to realize, no, that discomfort is a good feeling. Now, I'm comfortable with discomfort because I know that means I'm going to the next level. I know that means it's time for me to break out of this zone and get into another area. It's time for me to elevate my position, elevate my mind, elevate my way of thinking, everything. And so I encourage you that if you're in an uncomfortable situation, be encouraged. Because when you're in that uncomfortable situation, it means this is not a known area for you. It's not a comfortable place. It's not a stagnant place. It's not a place that you can be complacent. This is a place for you to grow. And so you have to go through that struggle. You have to embrace that process and just believe. Again, it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the show. It's about that belief system. And if you believe this to be a negative situation or a negative experience, that's exactly what you will receive. A negative experience, you'll receive negative results, is what Noah just talked about. But if you look at this and say, you know what, this is not comfortable for me to step out and talk to new people. I'm not comfortable pursuing my own dreams and my own passions. I'm scared to think what people are going to say about me or what they're going to think about me. I'm not comfortable walking into a bank asking for a loan. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because being comfortable has gotten us to where we are right now. So it's going to take us to get uncomfortable to get to the next position in our lives. Right?
Absolutely. And to be a beast, you have to be uncomfortable. That's a term that nobody wants to be comfortable with. We don't want to be comfortable with a beast. You see a beast coming, the first thing I'm thinking is fight, flight, and I'm fleeing. I'm not fighting. Like, who wants to fight a beast? You know, but one other thing to think about, too, and, you know, I always get all technical, but I have to share this part. The way the mind works, the mind is structured to keep us alive. The sole purpose of the body is to keep us alive, and the mind directs that, right? So when we have things that happen like fight, flight, that's the mind telling the body to get out of there so the body can move because its sole purpose is to keep us alive. And when you look at the way the mind works in a way that if something is uncomfortable for you, that means you are moving into new territory because the mind likes homeostasis. It likes for things to be the exact same. So when I tell people, that's what I said earlier when people say change is hard and I say it's supposed to be, the reason it's supposed to be is because your mind functions best when it's stagnant. It doesn't like new things. It doesn't like having to fish things out and decide what they are, you know, and I hate to use this example, but I use it all the time because it gets the point across. When we think about women who are in abusive situations and they stay, and we want to berate the woman. It's like, well, why would she stay? That doesn't make any sense. Because she knows that every Friday when he gets paid, he's going to go get drunk, he's going to come home and beat her. But every other day, it's okay. She understands that process. It's when you tell her to leave that she gets uncomfortable because she doesn't know the girl. She doesn't know what's out there anymore. She knows that abuse, and she can handle the abuse because she's trained and conditioned herself to handle the abuse. However, she doesn't understand what's going to happen to her on the outside. What is the world going to do to her? So, yeah, the mind likes for things to be the same. And if you're uncomfortable, rally in it, accept it. Ask yourself, where am I going? What am I doing? And realize that anxiety, you know, you go to the doctor and tell the doctor that you're suffering from anxiety, and they'll pop you some pills, and they want you to go home and be anxiety-free. But no, the psyche functions off of normal anxiety because it's saying we're moving, we're transcending, we're transforming, we're moving to a place that we weren't before, we're moving, we're changing elevation. When you hiking or whatever have you and you change elevation, your body has to prepare for that. Your ears pop, you're on an airplane, your ears pop, the body starts to change, you do different things, your stomach flip-flops. You know, the body has to prepare itself to be in a different elevation, and it starts to get uncomfortable. It's like imagine if you go up in the air and you know that any minute now you're on a ride, and, you know, any minute now they're going to just release you and make you do one of those free falls, you know, and you get that anxiety. You know, your body knows that change is coming, so don't fight the change. Don't fight the anxiety, and please don't go to the doctor and let them help you start popping pills. You don't need a pill. You just need the right questions and be able to provide yourself some answers. You know, and move and, you know, roll with it, you know, so that you can be everything that you've been destined to be.
Exactly. I know Dr. Iles can talk about popping those pills. Go ahead,
Bill. Yeah, I was looking
I'm
up
over
this.
Here like, I was actually wondering, Tanoi, you mentioned something earlier saying that you have to have an arrogant disregard for the naysayers in your life.
Yeah.
And I love that, and I want you to just kind of expand on that because, like, I had a girlfriend call me yesterday and told me she got a check for $7,500, and I was like, who else did you call and tell? Don't tell nobody else. Like, don't tell nobody. You know, but how do people who are around people who are not even consciously negative, but they always complaining or they all, you know, nothing goes right in their life or they're full of drama. Can you just expand on how important it is to watch the people that you're around and to even guard your dreams and maybe not even speak so much about the things? How do you feel about talking about your dreams with, you know, people who don't have as big dreams? How do you handle that?
It's hard. I used to have this program I would put my clients on. It's called the Escalator Program. The Escalator Program. And think about it. If you're on an escalator and you're moving up, the escalator is not going to stop and go in reverse. You know, so if you left something or somebody at the bottom of the escalator, then you're either going to have to run backward intentionally down to the bottom to pick up whatever it is you left or whoever it was you left, or you're going to have to wait till you get to the top, choose to get on another escalator to take you back down, hope that whatever you left is still there, and then go back up again. So when you look at your life is continually putting you on an escalator, and it's saying that every single thing that you want, all those big dreams, hopes, and aspirations are at the very top of this escalator, and I'm talking all the way up at the top. Are you going to push a button and make the escalator stop so that you can go back down to what's comfortable or go back down to the people who don't want to come up with you, or are you going to keep going? Or think about it in terms of stairs. You have to walk up 500 steps. Are you going to get to step 498 and then hear the call of the negative person and decide that you don't want to live life without them and then walk down 498 stairs? Or are you going to look at that person and say, You got to do something. You got to either come up or we're going to have to part ways and say goodbye. Because most people don't want to go on the road with you. And one of the greatest things that we can do when we're on this road of personal growth and development, there's a saying that says that you earn within you earn around the same amount of money as the five closest people to you. And I like to say that when it comes to your dreams, hopes, and aspirations, that's the same. You're going to have your dreams based off of the people that you keep around you, the people that gird you up, the people that tell you that it's possible, you know. And if you're around negative people and if you're around people who you are allowing to speak into your life and say that things are not possible, then you're going to continue to believe that they're not possible. But if you believe that every dream that you have is moving up and that you have to move up in the direction with it, then you're going to be able to let those people go or say to them, let's do this together. There's nothing wrong with saying, let's do this together. What's wrong is when you find out the person doesn't want to do it together and they want to stay where they are and you stay with them. That's wrong because your purpose sent you here for a reason. You know, your purpose, when people say that, you know, they're having a quote-unquote bad day or that, you know, they're experiencing negativity or they cry all the time, it's because your purpose wants to take you somewhere where you don't want to go. And you're allowing yourself to stay somewhere where you're not intended to be. You're not intended to be down there. I mean, think of it this way. Would you stay in a swamp surrounded by alligators if you had an escape route where they couldn't touch you? No. I mean, who would do that? I mean, if you do that, please call me after the show. We need to talk. Because who would choose to stay, you know, and be eaten up by alligators? So if you think of the people, the negative people around you, they're your alligators. They're eating up your dreams, hopes, and aspirations, and you have an escape route. Yet you're choosing to stay where they are because on some level, you don't believe it anyway. You don't believe you're worthy. You don't believe you're good enough. You don't believe you're smart enough. You don't believe that type of life should be for you because your environment, your conditioning system, your belief system, your life success to you, who do you think you are? You know, my favorite phrase is when someone says, how dare you? Yes, I do dare. That should be your response. If you're around negative people and they say, how dare you? Yes, I do dare. Now what? What else you got? Because once you adapt that attitude, that's when the arrogance comes in. Because when people say, how dare you, it's almost like they're being arrogant. Like, how could you be so arrogant to think that you could have better? Yep, I am arrogant. What's next? I don't really care what you're saying to me right now because I know the purpose on the inside of me that's so uncomfortable where we are that wants more. It's pulling me for more, and I'm going to jump on the escalator. Feel free to ride with me, and we can do this together. However, once I start en route, I'm not coming back down. I'm not getting back off. I'm not choosing to go in different ways so I can meet you back where you are. No, you guys have to come up to where I am because there's nothing good for us down here in the swamp of alligators. Trust me. I don't want to be here.
We are coming up on the end of the hour. And, I mean, I thank you for joining us tonight. And before we run out of time, I know that you have an upcoming 3-day virtual course, It's Time to Unleash. So if you could just tell our listeners briefly about your upcoming virtual course, what's the name of it, when are the dates, and how can they get involved in this?
Oh, my gosh, I forgot all about the course because I got so excited with the yes, I do dare. I'm like, those are the magic words, everything for the rest of the week. Yes, I do dare. Someone says stop. Yes, I do dare. Okay, the course that I have is really to help people prepare for the new year. So many times we set resolutions. And really, I don't even like for people to set resolutions. I like for people to have an intentionally resolute life, and I like to help them get there. However, if you have to start with the resolutions, then let's start there. But if you look at where most people are, only 3% of people in the entire world really stick to their resolutions. So do we really want to do that? No. So this program is helping people to gird themselves up so that when it's time for us to make the changes that we want to make, when it's time for us to really say what it is we want to do, we have those tools to help us continue to move forward instead of making these goals that we know that we're not going to keep because we never keep them. It's just, you know, to set a resolution is fashionable. You know, it's the end thing at the first of the year. You know, you don't hear people talking about it in 6 months, in a year. They're like, ooh, girl, I just had a New Year's resolution. It's over. Nobody talks about it. Right. So the name of this program is It's Time to Unleash. It's time to really step into the things that you want to do. It's December 7th through December 9th. It starts at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And what it's going to do is it's a 3-day course, but then 21 days after the course is over, we're going to meet again because it takes 21 days to form a habit. So we're going to meet again 21 days later, and we're going to discuss where you are. It's going to be an open Q&A call, open coaching. So if you're brave enough to want to do coaching with me, that's your chance, you know, to get it for a really inexpensive price. And, you know, this 3-day course is really, it's my Christmas gift to you because the course is only $97. So you get all of these great tools, you get these exercises, you get all the things that go with it for $97. And again, and this is a time to invite some people up out the alligator swamp, you know, to invite some of your friends to do it with you so that that can be your New Year's gift to one another to move forward in your life and to live your dreams in a bigger, better, bolder way. And you can find out more information at www.iamtheboldone.com. I'm so conceited with this boldness that I have, you know, domain name. I am, and I bought that intentionally because when you type it in, you have no choice but to treat it as an affirmation.
iamtheboldone.com. Well, Tanoa, again, thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. That is Ms. Tanoa Bond, the Audacity Expert. Tanoa, thank you for being here. It was such an honor to have you here on the show with us today.
Thank you guys for having me. I put you on mute, and I thought I lost you. Thank you. I had a call, and I hope I didn't ramble.
Oh, no. So, again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you that are in the chat room, special shout-out to Desleen, Faith Renee out there, Mr. Edward Williams, Nanette, Survive365, all of you guys that were in the chat room joining us tonight, thank you so much. Thank you to all of you that are listening to the live show as well as the replay. Make sure that you're here next week for another phenomenal show with our special guest, author, minister, entrepreneur, Ms. Lakeisha McKnight. So you guys have a blessed, prosperous, productive week. And we hope that you'll be here with us again next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mind Shift Radio.